we're going to talk about tonight, we want to talk about, amen, the beauty of forgiveness. And when I was preparing for this, I thought about a show that I saw on TV. My daughter called me one night and she said, "Mommy, can you believe that people actually live like this?" And I said, "What channel is it on?" And she told me, and I turned there and I saw such a horrible living condition. I could not believe it. And the name of the show was Hoarders. And has anybody seen that? It's cluttered to the max. It's cluttered to the nth degree. And the thing that amazed me so much was how reluctant people were to rid themselves of all of this stuff. When they got to the bottom of it, for a lot of people, I watched about 3 episodes, and when they got to the bottom of the issue was not the stuff all around. The issue was not that they had crowded their house out with so much worthless stuff. The problem wasn't that it began to stink and the neighbors began to complain. The problem was not that they could not get to their kitchen to prepare a meal. The problem was not that they could not have proper hygiene because they could not even get to their bathrooms for stuff. One episode had a lady, she just loved animals, and there were dead cat carcasses underneath a lot of that stuff. When they tried to clean her house and deal with her to remove some of this stuff because the county was going to come in and close the house down, and she had such a hard time parting with her stuff. So they called in a psychologist to talk her through her stuff. At the bottom of her problem was unforgiveness. 17 years ago, something happened to her, and I don't want to get into all of that. You can go and find it later. I don't know. But anyway, I don't want to just get into it, but I want to get to the bottom line. The bottom line was something happened to her 17 years prior. She was not able to let it go. Her husband, in turn, had walked out on her. Her kids did not want to come home because she was a mess. And she still could not part with her stuff because she walked in unforgiveness. The problem with unforgiveness is that it never comes alone. It never comes alone. Unforgiveness is like an octopus. It has so many legs that if you get one, there's 7 more coming up at you. So in dealing with forgiveness, we have to deal with the heart of the octopus, because we cannot continue to react to unforgiveness. A lot of the issues that we face, depression, amen, is a billion-dollar industry. Counseling, another billion-dollar industry, just to have someone to talk to, all because we have not been able to release all of that stuff that's in us, all of the hoarding, amen, that we have picked up through life. This happened, and we don't deal with it. We swallow it, and we say, "Oh, it's okay." Then someone else offends us, and we say, "Well, you know what? I'm not going to deal with it. I don't want the problem of dealing with it." Then in our marriages, the close confines of our marriages, because there is no relationship closer than a husband and a wife. And if you have something that's a little bit negative, my God, it's going to come out in that marriage. Amen. You're going to do something, and he's going to do something to that stuff that you stuffed down and you'd hoarded for all these years and you have so carefully tucked away. You so carefully made sure the neighbors don't know. You made so sure that everything is tucked in and hidden. Amen. In the close confines of our relationships, it's going to come out. Women, we are incubators. And so many things we don't deal with very well, do we? So many things we think that it's not worth the hassle. But tonight, I want to challenge each one of us tonight, amen, to take another look. Because the resurrected Christ Jesus teaches and commissions his disciples, And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission or forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And what Jesus is saying before he went back, listen, the price has been paid for you to walk in forgiveness. The price is paid. We're cheating ourselves, and we believe the lie of the enemy. And no matter how insignificant, sometimes we think things are, they fester, and they draw more negativity. And when it's so big that we don't know what to do, then a lot of times, women, we go into a depression. But because Jesus is alive, because the Bible is true, because we love the gospel and we believe the gospel, and we believe the good news, amen, that he dies for our sins and that he rose for our justification and our salvation, because he sent the Holy Spirit, amen, for our sanctification, and because no one comes to the Father but by him. This same Jesus, amen, that bought all of that for us, and we can so easily reach for salvation, but we don't understand that in our package, in that word salvation, amen, it has overtones and undertones of forgiveness. Amen. Wholeness. Amen. Overflow and release. Amen. Jesus, amen, picked up the scroll when he came out of the wilderness, and he went into the tent of God and began to teach. And the Bible said in Luke, the fourth chapter, they picked up the scroll and he turned to Isaiah 61 and he began to read. He said, the Spirit of the living God is upon me, for he has anointed me. Amen. To preach good tidings to the poor. Amen. To loose shackles. Amen. To set the captive free. Amen. To tell the lame to walk. To let the blind eyes see. The Spirit of God. Amen. Was on Jesus. And he began his messianic ministry letting us know, listen, I came to loose your bonds. Amen. I came to whatever that bondage is. I came to clean up your hoarding. I came, amen, to set the captive free. I came, amen, that you may lay hold of forgiveness and understand the principle of forgiveness. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you a little story, and I don't want to get into too many details again. Linda's aware of it. About 7 years ago, I went through something in my family with my one of my children, with my daughter, and it just couldn't be. I said, wait a minute, Lord. I was raising the perfect daughter, amen, going to the perfect school with the perfect manners, amen. She's going to get the perfect husband, and she's going to have the perfect life, amen. She's going to raise perfect grandchildren for me so I could look like the perfect grandmother, yeah. Amen. So I had it all figured out, amen. I had high standards, amen. And I said, you know what? When she does all of this and raise my beautiful grandchildren, baby, that was Elena. So I just want to lick them. Amen. Me too. Amen. Amen. I have seven of them that I have licked. Amen. And I love them. They're dear and they're precious. But she went through something in her marriage that none of us saw coming. Nobody saw it coming. And so she did some things that were dishonest, and she ended up someplace that we had never expected that she would end up. But to make a long story short, I had the children. And I remember getting so angry, not just with her, but with God and with her husband and why me? And I remember just being so angry about it. Then I said, wait a minute, I am a good old Holy Ghost tongue-talking girl. Amen. I'm a pastor's wife. Amen. I cannot be like this. So, amen, I thought I repented. And I did say, God, forgive me. Forgive me for what I'm feeling. So when she came home, it was a difference in my home. I said, Lord, what in the world is this? I've forgiven. I love her. But when we embraced, there was something there. And so I'm thinking that it's her. I mean, I said, what in the world? They changed. They took my child and they took my child out of her. I don't know who this is. And one day I was sitting in my kitchen. And the Lord said to me, Carolyn, you have not thoroughly forgiven your child for making you feel the way you feel. You have not thoroughly forgiven her because you want to have this perception of being perfect whoever. And you have not thoroughly forgiven her. You need to forgive her. And I saw her doing everything she could to earn mommy's love. You know how mothers and daughters are. And I could see this work ethic coming on her that she's never had before. And the Lord said, just go to her, hug her, and say, Tanita, I forgive you. The place that you had in this family before this transpired, you have been brought again back to that same place. I love you. You are my precious daughter, and I want you to be free, and I want you to go in peace. Tanita went down to her knees. Then I felt something in me that loose, and I felt like flying. So I found out, amen, that in setting her free, I'm thinking I'm setting the captive free, only to learn that the captive was me. And when we release people, this is the paradox of forgiveness. This is the paradox of forgiveness. When we release people, we understand, amen, that in releasing them, I release myself. I've set myself free to love, to be to my child what she needs me to be now. She's on top of her game. She's in love with the Lord. She's working in the church. She knows who she is. The working to get accepted is gone. That thing is gone for her now, and she is relaxing in the love of God and her mother and her family. She has been reconciled to God and to her family, and that's the complete circle of reconciliation, amen, and forgiveness. So the beauty of forgiveness is that it's a two-edged sword. That's the beauty of forgiveness, amen, that when you release someone, amen, you release yourself. So when Jesus said to the disciples that forgiveness of sin must be preached, amen, so he let us know that no matter what, we are out of options. We don't have anything to bargain with. It is not a good idea. It is not that we should forgive. It is a commandment. Amen. It is a commandment that we forgive. Well, they don't deserve it, but I didn't either. Amen. Well, they did this, I did too, and more. Amen. Forgiveness is what the victim does and what Jesus did. They thought he was a victim, but he was the ascended Lord, had won the victor's crown. In his forgiveness, the enemy said, oh, I got him. I got him on the cross. I got him. I got him. Amen. He's a victim. All hell getting excited because Jesus is on the cross, not realizing that what Jesus was doing was the most important thing in the time since creation, was relieving man for his sin. So not only did hell get upset, but Jesus won the victor's crown. Hallelujah. Because here we said today, amen, that joy that was set before him that Marie talked about, we are that joy, walking in liberty that he purchased for us, rejoicing, loving one another, and walking in the freedom that he purchased for us. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. When we sin, we repent. When we've been sinned against, we forgive. Amen. That is part of our package. That's part of our package, of our salvation package. When I hear someone say, I can't forgive, then you didn't get read your package, read your manual. Go in and get that little tiny piece of paper in the corner. Read your entire manual, because you have been empowered to forgive. Amen. And there is no such thing. There is no such thing as I cannot forgive. Amen. And there is no such thing as I halfway forgive. Let me tell you another thing that happened to me when I was preparing for this sermon. So God, you got a sense of humor. Oh, my God. We're in church about 3 Sundays ago. In walked somebody from 21 years ago that used to be a member of our church. And I'm like Paul said of some of the people in his day. He said they did me much harm. So they did us much harm. And they called me about 3 years ago and said, Carlin, please forgive me. I've done this, I've done that, and I released them, but I didn't see them. So when they walked in that church, that old knot. Come on, ladies, I'm not by myself. You know about that knot. You know about that knot. Amen. They coming this way, you go this way. You know about it. I can tell from your laughter you know about it. Amen. And so I was, my son spoke that day, and he was, would you know what he was preaching on? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. And I sit there and wrestle with the Lord. I said, well, Lord, I don't know who you're talking to because I already forgave. I don't know. It must be the person behind me because I already did this 20-some years ago. No, Lord, it's not me. And the more I protested, the bigger that knot got in my stomach. So at the end of the service, my son called my husband and me up to pronounce the blessing over the people. And I came up there. Then I didn't know he was going to do this. He said, and also I want you, brother so-and-so and so, and your wife to come up too. They used to be a member of this church. So here we are on the same stage. The church looking. And I'm feeling this knot getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And I said, well, Lord, I know I forgave. I know I released her. And the Lord said, do it again. Do it until you don't feel this knot. Do it and proclaim your love for her in front of all these people. And I said, Lord, you always make my Holy Ghost work. Theirs don't work, but you always. And so I took the mic after we blessed the people, and I said, I want to say in front of our congregation, Mary, will you please forgive me? And do you know that thing just left? Barbara asked me, did you plan? I said, do you think I would have planned something like that? In front of everybody, I said, and in front of the whole congregation and my grandchildren. And do you know, I'm sitting down. The thing is gone, but I said, oh, my God, they're going to think. But after service, people came to, I've never seen such a display of forgiveness. I've never seen it modeled on that wise. Said it must be real. We like to repent in a corner. We like to forgive in a corner. But people came, and I said, Lord, I thank you because I felt like this big. But then guess what? The knot is gone. Yeah. The knot is gone. And after service, I went and talked with them, and it was gone. And I hugged, and I could say, I love you, sister. And I bless you. I want God's best for you. That's forgiveness. That's pushing it away from you. Amen. And putting it on God. Amen. So forgiveness, amen. You release the person, but you also release yourself. Amen. Amen. So full reconciliation happens when sinner repents and the victim forgives. In forgiving, you allow someone to live without the consequences of your punishment in their lives. Your condemnation in the life. You are allowing somebody else to do what God has allowed you to do. Without, in our homes, we like to, amen, our husbands and those close to us. And Henry and I don't do it too much anymore because we'll be married 50 years soon in March. And so we don't do it because God has brought us a long way. But used to, when he would say something to me that I didn't like, it was like, oh, I've been holding this one right here. You too. I saw you yesterday, and we do that, and it caused animosity in our marriages, and it caused walls to come up, and we don't give the honor to our husbands that they are due, and we do not become, amen, their crown, their honor, because we're not honoring them. And so I'm talking tonight to married people. I'm talking tonight to single people. I'm talking tonight to mothers. I'm talking to sisters. I'm talking to daughters. Amen. Forgiveness is not an option. And if we don't forgive, bitterness set in. And Hebrews 12 and 15 said, lest a root of bitterness, amen, trouble you. Looking diligent, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness trouble you, springing up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. When you get bitter, that bitterness does not stay with you. Everybody you talk to, that bitterness come out. You have been tainted. Amen. Your well has been tainted. And the bitterness, everybody that drink from your well, taste the bitterness except you. Amen. Except you. So we either forgive or we walk in bitterness. When we release somebody, what we're saying is, I don't need to punish you because Jesus was already punished. Amen. He became, took on our sins, and he was punished for us. So I don't need to punish you because he's already been punished. I just need to release you. Amen. Ephesians 4 said, forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven you. So you can't say, I can't do it. And that is one of the biggest things of hypocrisy that I've ever seen. Now, let me give you several Webster's definitions for forgiveness. To grant pardon for or remission of an offense of sin. To cancel or remit a debt, an obligation. To forgive interest owed on a loan. To grant pardon to a person, to cease to feel resentment against somebody. Amen. That's what I was feeling. Amen. Though I felt that I had forgiven, but I hadn't, because I had not ceased feeling resentment that my family and I went through all of that because of this person. Amen. Colossians 2:13 said, you were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away, then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave all your sins. And you ask, Paul, how did God forgive all our sin? Because he canceled the debt that was against us. He canceled our debt. He canceled our debt. The record that contained the charges against us, he took it and destroyed it by nailing it to his cross. By nailing it to his grace like this, somebody send you a MasterCard with a great limit. And you didn't apply for it. And they used to do this back in the 80s, send your card. But when they send you a card and you can think of all these things you can buy, and you take the card against your better judgment and you run that card all the way up. Then what we do, the will is stored in our stomach again. How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for this? So we don't answer the phone. We don't answer the door. Because somebody, we owe a debt that we cannot pay. We owe a debt we cannot pay. Then one day somebody knocks on our door and we look out the window. We don't know this person, but we let them in anyway because we're afraid not to. And the person comes in and sit down and said, are you the one that amassed all this debt? Are you the one? And you say, yes, I'm the one. And you're thinking that he's going to put handcuffs on you. And he says to you, well, the debt has been canceled. Somebody paid all of that money that you could not pay for you. And you don't have to return the goods. Your debt has been paid. You get to keep it, all the goods, but somebody has canceled that debt. And they've torn up that long record of from store to store to store. Against you, your debt has been canceled. And that's what forgiveness does for us. Amen. That's what Paul is saying, that he had canceled the charges that were against us in Colossians 2 and 13 and 14. Amen. Jesus said in Mark 11:25, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive your transgressions. Amen. When you stand praying, forgive. Amen. So that your Heavenly Father will forgive you your transgression. Charles Stanley says, forgiveness is the act of setting someone free from an obligation to you that is a result of a wrong done against you. For example, a debt is forgiven when you free your debtor of his obligation to pay back what he owes you. So forgiveness involves three elements. It involves the injury, the debt resulting from the injury, and the cancellation of that debt. Amen. So you acknowledge the injury. We don't minimize it. We acknowledge it. Yes, I was injured. Yes, it hurt. Yes, I was angry. Yes, there's a debt owed to me. But I release that debt. Amen. And our forgiveness process is not complete until we own it. Until we own that, yes, I was hurt. Amen. When I first got married, I pretend like nothing bothered me. You're scared to make waves, you know. I'm the best thing that happened to you, brother. And so, just count your blessings. Then after a while, that stuff was piling up. And one day when he least expected, I gunny sacked him. Amen. And he found out that stuff that he had done or said or whatever, no intentions, things that he didn't even mean personally, that I took personally, amen, that I was not that goody-two-shoes, that perfect person that could just take anything. Oh, just give it. Carolyn can just take it. He found out that was not that. Because when things hurt, we have to own it, ladies. We have to own it. Somebody asked me years ago when I was preaching about the lady in the 7th chapter of Luke that came up behind Jesus and began to weep and then wash his feet with her tears. And somebody asked me, so where did she get all those tears? And I said, she got those tears from the hurts that she will not release down through the years. She feels like crying and she swallows this and she doesn't let it out. Then there's another injustice done and she swallowed this and stood her. She doesn't know how to forgive, so she just swallows all of that. Then something else, and she swallows that, and she doesn't release it. Then finally, when she comes to Jesus, she said, I know I can find release here. He said to me, come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. And she came to Jesus, and when she found a place where she was received, then all of that pent-up passion, all of that pent-up anger and hurt and disappointment and unforgiveness came out. That's where the tears came from. That's where so many tears came from. But ladies, we live on this side of the cross now. Amen. We live on this side of the cross and we don't have to carry our burdens like that. We don't have to carry it like that. Amen. The pain that you initially felt from the offense is only made worse by your choice not to forgive. Your efforts to get back at your offender by remaining angry are in actuality bringing torment to your soul. Every time you have not dealt with something, you feel yourself getting angry, you are doing damage to your soul. And that's not the life that he's chosen for us. You're doing damage to your soul. Amen. We don't forgive another person for his sake. We do it for our own sake. Amen. We do it, amen, though they need to be free. But initially, amen, we do it because we've got to be free. We've got to free. And I'm sure, amen, but the second thought is they need to experience the joy and the peace of God that I've experienced. Amen. When you love somebody, when you have the burden that Jesus had, you want people around you free. You want women free. Sometimes I go places and the women can barely hold their heads up and they can barely say amen. And I just see the head hanging down. And I see the husbands come in like this, and I see the poor little women like this. Jesus is the glory and the lift of our heads. Amen. And he does not want us walking around in shame or pain. Amen. And sometimes we may have to take ownership, women, in our homes, amen, to initiate repentance. Amen. Have you ever done it so your child would say, I'm sorry? You ever just say, I'm sorry, so you could mimic, your child could mimic what you're saying and understand what forgiveness is? And sometimes we have to humble ourselves a lot of times and come to our husband, you know what, honey, I'm sorry in the way that I fail you. I'm not sure all that it entails, but I can tell by the way that you are walking around quiet and sullen that there's something that's going wrong. I'm so sorry that I failed you and that I was not to you what you needed me to be at that time. Can you imagine what that does for a man? When I do that to Henry, I mean, really, I know that's a dinner. Amen. Really. And it's not for manipulation. I genuinely care about his soul. I genuinely care about his spirit. But I know that he's tied up in some kind of knots that he right now is not ready to deal with. But when I come in and initiate, please forgive me, Henry. I don't know what is bothering you, but forgive me for the ways that I have not been able to be to you what you needed me to be today, because you'll walk around in sadness. That does it every time. For my child, amen, my children, my grandchildren, amen. Sometimes I have to initiate it just for my little Dimitri to tell me what's wrong. Dimitri, I'm so sorry. Amen. Maybe Grammy did something and I didn't mean to. Please forgive me. Then she'll say, Grammy, it was not you. It was bloom, 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 bloom. And then we're able to lift the burden. Hallelujah. Yeah. So that she can go free. The object is that we become the lifter of their heads, that they can go free. Amen. Jesus lifted our heads so that we can go free. So sometimes we initiate it that we can pour on the oil and the wine. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There is nothing beyond forgiveness. There is nothing we can't forgive for. And there's only one thing that Jesus said that he won't forgive for. And that's another subject. But there's nothing that we are doing, because if we remember, amen, and think about that one thing, we don't do that. If it bothers us, then we're not guilty of that blasphemy. Amen. We're not guilty of that. So there's nothing beyond God's forgiveness. There's nothing that we cannot release a person from, because the power of the risen Christ lives in us. Yes. It is a choice. It is a choice. It is a choice. I was up there in New York last weekend, and after the marriage seminar, there was a couple that said, I want to talk with you and Henry for a minute. And they said, we weren't coming because we're not getting along. And we were thinking about separating. I said, but I know your children. I know when they got married. I remember. And you're talking about what? So we talked with them, and we talked with them. Found out, as we put the forgiveness thing to them and the blood of Jesus, what they were dealing with was a refusal on each one's part to be the first one to say, forgive me. Stubbornness. Wow. Just stubbornness. And countless marriages, somebody owed me some money, that phone, amen. Countless phone, Living Grace, another dollar for you, amen. Countless divorces and countless, amen, marriages are over because the refusal to forgive, amen, the refusal to forgive. Forgiveness is a biggie. It's a beautiful thing to see someone come in with their head down and you see you are able to lift that head. Amen. David said, Lord, you are my glory and the lifter of my head. Father, I sinned against you, and when I kept quiet, my bones waxed old. And he went through all the things that happened to him. He said, but when I repented and you forgave me, oh God, you became the glory and the lifter of my head. Amen. I went around all day mourning, but when you lifted my head, you said, I take responsibility for you. That's what you said. I take responsibility for you. And sometimes in absolving what's going on in our homes, we have to take some responsibility, ladies. We have to take some responsibilities. Yeah, I know you said, life ain't fair. No, life ain't fair. Amen. It's not fair. Amen. But it's powerful when we honor God in our lives. Amen. It is so powerful. Amen. And you know, if we have a good memory, we can forgive. If we can remember the junk pile, amen, that we have piled up before God when he forgave us. And he took that whole junk pile all the way down, all of that hoarded stuff we had all around us. We couldn't do anything. We didn't even have a righteous thought. He said, there's no unrighteous, no, not one. We didn't even have a righteous thought. And he saved us and forgave us. Amen. I mean, if you got a good memory of where you were, then you can forgive somebody. And not just forgive, you can celebrate them. Amen. Amen. If you can remember where you were. So we don't have options. We're clean out of options. Amen. We need to echo as Jesus did from the cross. Amen. Father, forgive them. I forgive you. Amen. But not waiting until they got good, not waiting until they got right, but amen. From the cross, while they were yet stoning him and spitting on him, amen, and cursing him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. And not only these, but those that's going to come after them, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. And we need to be that same way. Everything is not personal in our lives. Everything that come our way is not personal. Amen. And sometimes we make everything personal. Amen. Because there is power in forgiveness, we withhold it sometimes. It makes us feel powerful. But we have not been called to do that, have we? Amen. That is a power that's not ours. That's a power that's not ours. Amen. You need to give to others what God has given to you. And, you know, you meet people that are devastated, their conscience, that's really, really just all over the place because of unforgiveness, because of unforgiveness. Amen. Some people cannot forgive themselves. I meet people that have had abortions, have been molested, have had things done to them, and they have taken ownership of that, and they cannot forgive themselves. Amen. Somebody got to go to them and say, you know what? Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Amen. I was praying for a woman in Canandaigua, I think it was, and she was just really all over the place, and her emotions were all out of whack. And we had a prayer line, and the Lord said, you need to go over there, and you just need to tell her that her sins are already forgiven. She does not need to toil. She doesn't need to do penance anymore. Her sins are forgiven. Can you imagine what that does to somebody that's under heavy burden, weighed down with a heavy burden? To hear somebody walk up to them and say, your sins are already forgiven. Amen. He's already forgiven your sin. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to toil. You don't have to scream. You don't have to cry. You don't have to beg. You don't have to plead. Amen. Your makeup is running. Your eyelashes are half off. Amen. You don't have to do that. Your sins are forgiven. Amen. Your sins are forgiven. Can you imagine, amen, the beauty in telling somebody your sins are forgiven? Amen. I mean, that blesses me that I have the carte blanche, amen, to announce the good tidings and the great joy to people. Amen. We have been made ministers of reconciliation. Amen. Amen. To which God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and he has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. We get to reconcile people back to God. We see people out of place, and we get to reconcile them back to God. Paul said in one time, I bid you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We get to do that. Amen. He has entrusted us with his spirit. Amen. That we get to do that. Hallelujah. And to me, that's an honor. Knowing who I am and knowing all about me, he has entrusted me with the ministry of reconciliation. Paul said, I thank God who entrusted me with this great ministry, because I was the chiefest of sinners. I was a blasphemer. He said, but God entrusted me. Little old Paul, Saul of Tarsus, he trusted me with this great ministry. So forgiveness is precious and it's powerful. Just saying those words, I forgive you, or will you forgive me? Either way, it's powerful. Amen? If you've been sinned against, wounded, broken, or damaged by the offense of others, if you don't forgive, you will become bitter. And I think I just said that. I want to talk about Corrie ten Boom. I was reading her autobiography, and she said one day she was preaching in Munich. You know, she was in the concentration camp during World War II. And she said she was preaching in Munich, and you would know, like it was at my church today. Guess what the subject was? Forgiveness. It's amazing. God put us out there, out front, with the thing we're struggling with, and said, preach it, girl, because I'm going to get you today. He said, preach it. Help yourself. And so she was preaching on forgiveness. She said when she looked up past the front row, she looked in the back, and she saw this man who was a guard at her concentration camp. And she said she almost lost her train of thought. At the end, she prayed for everybody, and he came up to shake hands with her. And she said she almost did not shake hands. And he said, I'm born again. Forgive me. She said she froze. The Father, I cannot do this. It is too big for me. I can't do this. This man killed my family, my loved ones, my friends. He had no mercy. People were crying and screaming, and he put them in ovens. And now he wants me to shake hands with the hands that killed my family. He wants me to forgive him for atrocities beyond belief. And she said, she froze. The God said, just raise your hand gently. That she felt the strength come back in her. She said, by the time her hand got to his, all the anger had melted away. Oh, my God. And she said, bless you, my brother. That's the power of forgiveness. Can you imagine this man? Amen. Amen. And I was reading and preparing for forgiveness. I was reading another story of a lieutenant in the German army. And he had killed lots and lots of people. And he said they had 30 guards, German guards. And somehow or another, the Jewish people threw a grenade or whatever and killed 30 of their guards. Then they were angry. They took 300 people, put them in an oven with their children, and lit it. He said they were screaming, they were crying. And saying, please just take my child, burn me, but take my child. Well, he got shot. And he was laying there bleeding for days. For days. Finally, this guy walked in, and the nurse came and said, are you a Jew? Are you Jewish? He said, yes. She said, come with me. I want to take you back in this back room. I got somebody back here that needs to talk to you. They took him to the back room. There was this dying, whoever he was in the German army had gotten shot and he was dying. He said, are you Jewish? My one stipulation, are you Jewish? He said, the man said, yes. He said, I got to talk to you. And he told him the atrocity, that I got to find some place for my guilt. I don't have any place. I'm dying and I don't have any place to place my guilt. Can I talk to you? And Wassenthal said he started to just get up and walk out. But the Holy Spirit said, no, let him talk. Said his bloody hand reached for his, and he said, no, I don't want to hold his hands. And he began to talk and confess all the atrocities he had done to the Jewish people. And at the very end, he said, will you forgive me? Wassenthal said he could not find it in himself to do that. So he walked out the door, left the dying man there. But guess what? The person that was tormented from that day on was not just that German man. Wassenthal, who had already been sinned against grievously, said he lived the rest of his life. And he asked people, did I do the right thing? Every time he went from, let me tell you a story. This man needed some place to put his guilt, and he wanted to talk to me, and I would not absolve him. I would not say, I forgive him. Was I wrong? And different people, according to how they felt, gave him different answers. But he was tormented because he did not lift the head of a dying man. That's our power of forgiveness is. Amen. That's our power. That's the beauty in forgiveness. So I say there's nothing beyond forgiveness. Doesn't matter what you've done. Does not matter. Amen. The blood of Jesus is still sufficient. Amen. To cleanse and wipe our slate clean. It is still, amen, reaches to the highest mountain and down to the lowest valley. Amen. The blood that gives me strength from day to day shall never lose its power. And when we have an opportunity to lift someone's head, no matter what atrocity they've done, amen, when we forgive, we release, amen, back to God the right to be judged. We give it back to God. Father, you're God, and I'm not. Amen. So you give his Godship back to him. Amen. Amen. There are people that come into our church. Think about Nelson Mandela, 27 years in prison, beaten, lost his eyesight, came out, was the first democratically elected president of South Africa. At his inauguration, he said, there's one person, if nobody else comes, there's one person that I must have at my inauguration. And guess who that was? It was his jailer. And he wanted to tell him, brother, I forgive you. Forgiveness, amen, is the heart of the gospel. Pope John Paul John Paul II was shot at during his term, during his papacy. And when he got well, got stronger, strengthened, he went down, descended down into the jail, and he said, I want to see the man that shot me. But you can't go, Pope. You're the Pope. You cannot go down. You cannot. We can't allow you to do that. Newsmen followed him and had mics everywhere wanting to hear what he would say. And he said, I have three words to say. He went down to that jail, and he said, I forgive you. Time magazine played it up, had it on cover. They thought it was just otherworldly, which it was. Forgiveness, amen, makes a big sound. Amen. It sounds all the way to heaven, and it sounds all the way to hell. Amen. It makes a loud sound. Amen. When we storm the gates of hell and will not let somebody go in their guilt and say, I forgive you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what the ministry of reconciliation would do. That's what the ministry of reconciliation is about. Amen. Hallelujah. And Stephen, when he was stoned, said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Just forgive them. So now I'm getting ready to close. But I want you to understand how beautiful forgiveness is. I want you to think for a minute, somebody that you know. Nobody has to tell you. You know you need to go and initiate a conversation. You just need to go and initiate a conversation so you know, I forgive you. You haven't forgotten it. You get the butterflies and they come in. It may be your child who's disappointed you. Do you know how it feels like to be a child walking under the disappointment of their parents? My daughter talked about that in one of our sessions. Do you know what it feels like to know that I've disappointed my mom and my dad, my pastor, my teacher, to walk under that? That's some conversations we need to have in our churches. That's some conversations we need to have. There are three words we need to say that are powerful, that will set our churches free. The power of God comes back. Yokes are broken. Amen. When I invited my brother to church, he said, I don't want to go. I don't want to go to a social gathering. I said, what are you saying? He said, because in churches, people claim that they forgive, but they clap and sing their forgiveness song, but when they get a chance, they remind you of it. So I don't want, that's not what I want. But today my brother is saved. Today my brother is saved. When he said that, it pierced my heart. I said, Lord, don't let us be that. I cannot speak for the church, but don't let me be that kind of person. A committed one, don't let me be that kind of person. Don't allow me to go around, amen, in self-righteousness, and that's what it is, holding somebody's sin against them. In small little ways, don't let me do that. So we want the world to be saved. We want, amen, the world to be full of the glory of the Lord. It's not going to happen when the ministers of reconciliation keeps it to themselves. When we won't release it, it won't happen. We want our churches filled with worshipers, it won't happen. Amen. Unless we loose their bonds and say those words. People come in, they're saved, but they're in bondage. They're like Lazarus. We got to loose them and let them go. Amen. Amen. We got to loose them and let them go. And sometimes it's just by giving those words, I forgive you. Amen. Forgiveness is returning to God the right to take care of justice. By refusing to transfer the right to exact the punishment or revenge, we are telling God we trust him and we to take care of the matters. Amen. Forgiveness does not mean we have to revert to being the victim. Because I forgive somebody, I'm not the victim. I forgive you, but no strings attached. Amen. No, with forgiveness, it's no string attached, like confession. You don't confess, but Amen. Amen. Forgiveness, no strings attached. Amen. But don't do it again. No. No. No strings attached. And sometimes, because it's been done, or we want to say, I forgive you this time, but don't you do it again. But we don't have that right. We don't get that right. Amen. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciling. And this is the one of the things that prevents a lot of people from releasing forgiveness. We think forgiveness is reconciling. Amen. Some terms have to be worked out before we can, a lot of times, reconcile. Forgiveness means I set you free. Doesn't mean I let you right back in my life. Amen. And we got to be wise. And with the church I grew up in, they said, well, if you forgive, why can't you receive them back again? Wait a minute. You just walked on my snow. And I got to have you walk on the other side of my snow, too, because I forgive you. Now, I forgave you for walking on my snow, but I don't want you to come to the other side of my sidewalk and walk on my snow again. You stepped on my toe and you didn't even say, I'm sorry, I release you, but I don't need you to come back and step on the other one. So forgiveness is not reconciliation. There is a difference. And reconciliation sometimes is the working out of terms. Amen. Forgiveness is a process, not an event. Even though it starts, amen, with my mind and my heart, amen, sometimes, let's be real, we got to work through that. I forgave you yesterday. I forgive you again today for the same offense. Amen. I thought I forgave you on yesterday, but today, that's how I was. I thought I forgave this person 20-some years ago. But when I stood on that stage with her, I realized there was a wall came right down between us. Nobody had said a word. There was a wall come right down between us. And she's going to stand there and smile. I was not willing to do that. Amen. So I asked her to forgive me. And we have to forgive every time people ask. Forgetting does not mean denying the reality or ignoring repeated offenses. Forgiveness is not based on another's action, but on our attitude. And guess what? This was hard for me. If they don't repent, we still have to forgive. Amen. If they don't repent, now that's a hard one for me. That was. We still have to forgive. And we don't always have to tell them, I'm forgiving you this time. Amen. I'm forgiving you. I forgave you for that yesterday. Just between you and God. Just refuse to let that wall come down between you. Amen. And forgiving is contrary to what people say. It does not mean forgetting. Forgiving is not forgetting. I got a good memory. And it's not fractured at all. I remember things, but I'm not holding against people. Amen. And God does not have a bad memory. He refuses to bring it up against us. But he doesn't have a bad memory. He forgot it. But he refused to bring it up against us again. Amen. The good news that Jesus Christ knows what it means to suffer much more than we will ever suffer. And he knows what it means to forgive. He did so on the cross. So God, fully Jesus, fully man, he suffered as a man. He died as a man. He also forgave as a man. He did not secretly turn off his humanity on the cross and thus somehow become dull to the intense suffering of the crucifixion. When the nails hammered through his wrist, he felt the pain. When he gasped for air, he felt, amen, the need. He felt real agony. When he bled, he felt real weakness. When he died, his brain and his heart really did stop working. He was very man, and he felt all the pain that a man would feel. Amen, going through that, but he did it for me and you. He did it for me and you. Amen. So listen, though we may be convinced of the power of the shed blood of Jesus to cleanse others from all sin, sometimes we view ourselves as the exception. Do not believe the lie. Amen. Do not believe the lie. God has forgiven you. Amen. In Christ, he has forgiven you. And because you are forgiven, we have become a forgiven people. Amen. His love, his grace, his mercy is now shed abroad in our hearts. And he has given us that ministry to do just what he did when he was here. Amen. That ministry where he left off has been given to us. And we now, amen, can forgive things done to us. We don't have to walk around burdened. We don't have to walk around, amen, bent over. We don't have to walk around, amen, hurt and angry. We can say, I forgive you. The beauty in forgiveness is that it didn't cost you, it cost Jesus. It cost him. We get to proclaim it because he actually worked it out. Amen. So we have more than a victory because he's the one, amen, that did it. It cost him. All it costs us is our pride. Amen. There are no nails going to go through your hands. Nobody's going to push you in your side. Amen. All it takes is a heart like his that would, amen, that men everywhere will repent, that would that none will perish, that would that we all will walk in the shalom of God. He wants all of us in the wholeness, the shalom of God, nothing missing, nothing broken. Amen. He wants us all to walk in no shame. He took our shame. So whatever that thing is that has caused us to walk in shame and not be up front with our brothers and our sisters, he has taken our shame, amen, on him. Hallelujah. So the walls can come down. As Linda said, black and white can, amen, fellowship, love each other. All of God's nations can come together as one because he has torn down that middle wall of partition, amen, between Jews and Gentiles. He's making one new man, and we all are part of that one new man. And he is the head of that one new man, that one body, amen? He is the head, amen? And the head says, release forgiveness, amen? That remission of sins should be preached in every corner of the earth, amen? To every man has a right now to be set free. They have a right, if they will believe, amen, that they can be set free. Go teach it. Preach it everywhere. Amen. Let them know the price has been paid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, as you, oh God, as your spirit hovered over, oh God, creation and brought, oh God, order out of chaos, oh God, as your spirit hovered over and Jesus at his baptism, Lord. Father, I just ask you to hover over this people tonight, Lord. Father, you know where the need is, oh God. Father, you know where order needs to come, Lord. You know where setting up right again needs to take place, Lord. Father, you know, oh God, those things that we've been hoarding, Lord. Father, amen. Let your spirit hover over this place again, Lord. Let your women, oh God, feel your breath, oh God. Oh God, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in this place. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh in this place. Search us, Lord. Know us, Lord. Father, do not let us return the way that we came, Lord. Father, that thing that's hidden way down that we don't even know where it's hidden, Lord. But we tucked it away so long ago, Father, but it's still rising up against us, oh God, still having us acting out things that's not pleasing to you, oh God. We know it. People may not know it, oh God. But you know it, oh God. And we know it, Father. Search us and pick that thing up, Father. Search that thing, oh God. And bring that thing. Put your finger on it, Lord, tonight. Put your finger on that thing, oh God. Oh God, that's causing us, oh God, not to walk in destiny, Lord. Not to walk in power, Lord. Put your finger on that thing tonight, Lord. As you hover over this place, Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God, you thank you for doing it right now, Lord. Thank you for doing it, oh, God. Thank you for searching us, oh, God. Thank you, oh, God. Deep crying to the deep tonight, Lord, God. Oh, God, we don't want to go back to where we came, Father. Oh, God, we want to walk out forgiven, having released forgiveness, oh, God. We want to experience the beauty of your forgiveness, oh, God, as we release others of their offense, oh, God. Spirit of the living God. Oh, God, touch us, heal us, restore us, refresh us, renew us, oh, God, by your spirit, in Jesus' name, hallelujah, in your precious name, Lord. Oh, God, by your precious shed blood, Lord. Oh, God, Father, your blood still cried. It's finished. It's finished, Lord. It is finished, Lord. It is finished. The price is paid, oh God. Oh God, and it's effectual, oh God, for whatever's wrong in this place tonight, oh God. And we thank you for doing it, Lord. We give you the glory, oh God. Oh God. Father, we're tired because we've been out, oh God, and been in service, oh God, but shake us, Lord. Wake us up, Lord. Oh God, this is serious business, Lord. Wake us, oh God. Don't let us miss our hour of visitation, oh God. Don't let us miss our hour of visitation, oh God. Oh God, all that you've been doing this weekend, oh God, don't let us miss our hour of visitation, oh God. Hallelujah, Father. And I give you glory and I give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.